Welcome back to the Doorcast, created and hosted by Liam Doerr, with associate producers Anne Muljit Singh, Nick Mays, and Dan Kalerjian. This podcast is brought to you by Captivate and found on all major platforms, especially Spotify. And welcome back to the Doorcast. This week we have a very special guest, one of the first non-Marist guests that I brought on the show, a spray tan aficionado and Philly girl turned Jersey Shore housemate. Welcome to the show, one of my fellow Shore House housemates, Anna Dollinger. Anna, how you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Oh, of course. So before we jump in, I wanted to ask, what does it mean to be in between laptops? Because you've used that phrase a few times, and like, I've been in between jobs, which just meant I was unemployed and looking, but how are you in between laptops right now?
I'm in between laptops because I have my MacBook that I've had since high school, and I actually broke it because I really wanted to watch this movie illegally. Which got a virus on the laptop. So now, like, it just doesn't work. Like, it's very slow. And I don't want to go and get, like, you know, just, like, an okay laptop. Like, I want my next one to be just as nice as this one. So I'm in between them right now. All I have is my, like, loaner one and then my work one. So I'm in between laptops right now.
What movie?
Oh, it was...
It wasn't Shrek, was it?
No. I don't think that I have to go illegal for that one. Oh, it was A Promising Young Woman. That's the name of the movie. It was really good. It was honestly worth the virus. I recommend everyone watch it, especially females. It was worth it, honestly.
It was worth the virus. You tanked your computer. You destroyed your computer for a movie, and it was worth it?
Yeah, 100%. It was already on its way out, and, you know, I went out with a bang. I went out with a good movie, so it's all right.
And then you're also in between cars, I heard?
Yeah, my last car, I had it from 17. It was my first car. I had it from 17 up until this last Christmas. So then I got my grandparents' car that, again, it's just a filler until I get my next big thing. You know, I don't want to just, like, go buy a car just because. I want my next one to be, you know, the real deal, so...
That's gonna be the car.
So I'm saving up for everything right now.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's gonna be a very important car in your life for the next like 5-6 years. It's gonna be
exactly. Yeah, I don't want to just exactly. I don't want to just get a car that I can afford right now. Like, I want to save up, and I'm a go big or go home person. So.
So you're gonna get like a really nice car then?
Not crazy. Like, I don't know. I've thought about it. I like small cars. But I've also been toying with the idea of a Jeep. Whatever I get, I do want it to be, you know, efficient. I would love a Tesla.
That's doable.
Very economy. Yeah. I'm just trying to be, like, sustainable as I can. So we'll see.
Whatever gets you to Point Pleasant, right?
Yeah, right.
Which is actually, I've always wondered, because you know how they call, like, you know, there's like a cluster of shore towns in South Jersey, like Avalon, Cape May, Stone Harbor, and they call it the Philadelphia Shore because it's all basically PA people, be it like, you know, the state of PA or Philadelphia, they all go there. As a Philly girl, what's your mentality being like, all right, let's go to like where all the hardcore New Jersey people go?
Again, go big or go home. Like, I want to be with the hardcore. I want to be just live like a local and do what the Jerseys do, Jerseyans do. I don't know. What do you call yourself, a Jerseyan?
Guy from New
I'm a
Jersey.
Philadelphian. I do love those beaches, and those are the beaches I usually go to. But it's a ridiculous amount of traffic because everyone from Philly is going to these same beaches, and it'll take me literally double the time that it takes to get there, even though it's geographically closer than it takes me to get to Point Pleasant. I've never hit traffic going to or from there, no matter what time I go, holiday weekend or not. I love it too up there. I mean, and I don't see a lot of Philly people up there. So I guess it's could be a good thing. I don't know.
Do you have to drive through like the boonies of Central Jersey?
Not really. I pretty much am on highways as soon as I go over the bridge from Philly, and I haven't really gone off route ever, so I'm sure I am in the middle of nowhere, but it just looks like highway to me.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I always kind of wondered what the experience coming into, because that's like, it's weird to grow up in, or I guess it's weird to not grow up in a state, I'm assuming, that just doesn't have a beach. Like, I guess PA just doesn't have.
Yeah, I don't know. I've always been like within an hour of Philly, so I've never been more than an hour away from a beach. Like, it's pretty accessible to me. I like it. I mean a good thing about Philly is that, you know, I'm within a pretty quick driving distance of New York, I'm close to DC, I'm close to the beach, I'm close to, you know, some really cool like hiking trails, like if I want to go out farther central or west PA. So I'm kind of in a good like central location, which is what I really love about Philly. It's geographically, it just kind of has a little bit of everything around you.
And that's where you want to, like, is that where you want to plant your flag for like the next couple of years? Or,
you know, funny enough, I've actually been thinking of moving out to California. I don't know if I told you this.
No, you didn't.
I had plans to go last year. So 2020, I wasn't going to resign my lease here. I was going to move out to LA. And then obviously the pandemic happened. I didn't want to move to a new city or anything and make any big changes during pandemic, where it would probably make my experience not as great. So there's probably a pretty big shot that next summer, I just resigned my lease here, so I'm here until July 2022. Big chance I'm there by next year. So
we're just not gonna see you at the shore next summer. That's sad.
No, I'll 100% be at the shore next summer.
So what's your mentality behind going to California? Is it just starting a new thing? Would you, you know, be leaving family behind?
Yeah, no, all my family lives pretty close by to me. No, all my family lives within the same, you know, hour radius. So no, I've wanted to live in California forever. I mean, I wanted to go to college there, and I was too nervous to pull the trigger and move across the country for college. So I stayed local in Philly. You know, I wanted to move there then after college, but then, you know, just never happened. You know, my boyfriend's here. Never, you know, it was, if I had the option to stay with him or leave, you know, I was like, I'm obviously going to stay here. My job is here. So now he's kind of on board to move there too. It took one trip getting him out there, right before COVID hit. We went for my birthday in 2020, which is January. We went out there, and I've been talking about this for years. For as long as he's known me, I've been like, yeah, I want to move to California. I've always wanted to do that. It's always been a dream. Went there once and he was sold. He was like, oh, I'm down. Let's do it.
Really? Just like that?
Yeah. Big reason why I don't have my car right now. I don't want to buy one and have to drive it out there. So,
I mean, that could be pretty fun though. The whole like, cross country trip.
Oh, I don't know.
You wouldn't want to do that? Oh, cross country is so fun.
Have you ever done that?
Yeah, we went to South Dakota junior year of high school. Oh, it's a really good experience. Like getting to see what the Midwest is like and what those parts. I don't know if you've ever been to those parts of the country, like central United States. So like the Dakotas, the Kansas type areas, place like that, the way they live out there is just insane. Like not bad or good. Like it's just compared to like our, for lack of a better word, metropolitan lives, the way people in the Midwest live is like another planet to us.
Yeah.
And I'm actually at some point going to go back because it was just everybody talks about how like people in LA are like so nice and so kind or whatever. No, you want to meet the nicest people in the world. Find a town in South Dakota that has about 1500 people and just go up to people and start talking to them.
Really? I would think that out of everywhere in the country, it would be like down south would be like the nicest people. No?
There too. We've driven to the south too and they're delightful. But there's something about the Midwest ethos where people are just so nice, and they're nice without like expecting anything. Because the biggest thing for me in New York with strangers is my mind is always on, all right, they want something from me mode. So like if a stranger's nice to me in New York City, I'm gonna be like, all right, but like what do you expect to gain from me now? And that's a very coastal thing. But you go out there and it's just insane. You could probably, I would argue that 9 out of 10 people, if you were sitting at a bus stop in South Dakota and there was a guy eating his breakfast, if you asked him for half of his muffin or half of his bagel or half of his donut, he'd give it to you. No questions
asked.
That's
so nice.
It's unbelievable.
That's kind of how what I've heard in LA, how it's like, where they kind of, everyone has a motive when they're meeting you. You know, like if you don't have something to offer them, or yeah, you don't have, if you're not a certain status or whatever it is, they don't have what you're looking, what they're looking for in you, then yeah, it's, they don't give you that same respect or even interest. Which is part of the reason why I, you know, I'm a little hesitant to go. I've never really gotten that vibe from New York, though. I mean, I've obviously never lived there, but I'm, like, kind of surprised to hear that.
What, that you feel? Well, I don't think anybody, like, I think comparatively, if you're going to LA, a lot of people will be like, what do I stand to gain from? Yeah, yeah. Like, they'll be like, what do I stand to gain? Like, they meet you, and they'll, like, probably do something like, look at the followers you have on Instagram, or look at, like, your following and be like, oh, if I become this friend, like they're gonna measure their like they're gonna measure what they can, I guess, gain from you. And I guess New York's not the same in that sense, because I don't think anybody's saying to themselves like, oh, what can I, what do I stand to gain from this person? It's just a ton of skepticism. And so it's like one person's nice to you and you're like, yo, why is this person nice to me? Or like one person's holding the door for you and you're like, what are you up to? That's sus. And maybe that's part New York, part me. Because I think, you know, I'm always like, what's this person up to? There's, they're not, nobody's genuinely this nice. But I have to blame being raised in like the New York, New Jersey area on that.
Where were you raised again, in Jersey?
I'm right here, right where I'm sitting, actually, South Orange, New Jersey.
Oh, that's right, that's right. Yeah. You went to high school with my friend.
Yeah, 23 years I haven't left. It's terrible. I've got to get out of here.
How was apartment hunting? I know you're looking to move in Manhattan.
It was interesting. It's fun. You know, everything in Manhattan's a trade-off. You know, one place has air conditioning, which is great, but you have to go down the street to do your laundry. Or one place, I don't know, comes fully furnished, but you have to, every time you come home, fist fight a homeless man. You know, it just, everything in New York is, I guess it's not one step forward, two steps back. It's one step forward, one step back. You know, like for example, one of the apartments I looked at that I really liked, amazing, checked off all the boxes. And then I'm like, where's the nearest subway station? They're like, oh, it's like a 20 minute walk. And so, you know, that's good and bad. Cause there's like a ferry right outside, but that, I guess that's just metropolitan cities though. And I think you're going to experience, if you go to LA, which I'm assuming that's what you want to do, you're going to experience just that. It's going to be, everything is going to be a trade-off, and the things that you notice in your life that you need, the things that you need in your life, rather, you don't notice that you don't have them until you are like, all right, do I really have to walk down Hollywood Boulevard to do laundry? Hollywood Boulevard, also 100% avoid Hollywood Boulevard. Like if you're thinking like, oh, it'd be so cool to live on, don't do it. Just don't do it. Go to Santa Monica.
I've heard Hollywood's a little whack, which I, at that, the first time I went there, I stayed in Hollywood. Not somewhere I'd want to live. It was a little weird. I don't know even how to describe it. It was very touristy and not the idea I had of LA. My idea when I went to LA, the area that kind of I imagined the most was when I went to Santa Monica and Venice. That's kind of what I pictured it as. A little out of my price range in those two areas, but
I mean, Santa Monica is probably pretty doable, and they're both probably pretty doable. I would steer clear of Venice, though.
Yeah. And
just as someone who's had experiences there, I feel like I got shoved by like a 12-year-old skateboarder when I was in Venice. Yeah. And I was like, I looked at him for a second, and it wasn't even like he was like, "Whoa, this 22-year-old man is mad at me now." He gave me a look and looks at me and goes, "What are you gonna do?" Kid was 12.
Oh my gosh.
And you can't hit a kid. You can't hit him.
I mean, I guess not.
No, you can't hit him. What? I mean, I guess I could take a skateboard to stomp on a skateboard, but then you'd have like 50 other skateboarders watching. You know, there's no way to win in that situation.
or you make yourself known that you are not to be fucked with.
You want me to fight 50 skateboarders?
Yeah. That's kind of what I'm going to do when I'm going to go out there, just like assert your dominance.
Over the entire state of California?
Don't let those kids walk all over you, Liam.
No, they're not. They're skateboarding all over me. It's terrible.
So if you had to pick, because I had to do this when I moved to my apartment, to give up one of three things. Laundry, like in-unit laundry, a dishwasher, or central AC.
Oh, dishwasher. What would it be? 100%
that's what
dishwasher.
I did.
Yeah, that's... Hand washing is fun.
If I could, you know, now that I think of it, well, I don't know. I have lived without AC, central AC, and I didn't mind it. I don't know.
I would definitely do AC and I do laundry.
Yeah, definitely laundry.
I'm used to hand washing. Well, it's not that I'm used to hand. I had a roommate in college who, in his words, did not believe in dishwashers. I said to him, what does that mean? And he just goes, I don't believe in them. And he hand washed everything he used. It was crazy. We had one of the nicest, most, because this place we had in college was like this facility for students, but it was super up to date, super nice, had all these like great modern new appliances. And the dishwasher was like a heavy duty dishwasher from like Maytag or something. Mm-hmm. And I'd see him make a sandwich, and instead of just dropping it in like, you know, the little slots for forks, knives, spoons, whatever, like little baskets that they put in the, you just wash it by hand. And I'd be like, why would you do that? It's just, it's so convenient. Just drop it in and then one of us will just unload it when it's done. And he just goes, yeah, sorry, I just don't believe in dishwashers.
Oh my gosh, no, I don't believe in hand washing. I'll do it, but I just don't feel like it gets clean. Like you got the sponge or whatever that's sitting in there and it's like collecting bacteria. And I just don't feel like it's actually getting clean. It drives me nuts.
I mean, I've heard of, I don't believe in microwaves. I've heard of, I don't believe in TVs, but you don't believe in dishwashers? What's there not believing? It's right there. It's not like Santa, you know, it's like, it's not like I've never seen him before. It's not Jesus where it's like, I don't see him, but I believe in him. It's a fucking dishwasher. It's right there. It's not going anywhere.
I could see maybe the argument of like, you know, it's, you know, wasting water or, you know, your water bill, your energy, whatever it is going to go up. But I mean, you're using just as much water for hand washing. You're probably having it on longer. I don't know. I don't know. I would love to hear his reasoning.
And it wasn't even like we were paying the electric or utilities. It was a flat fee. It was a flat like $1,100 a month for this college dorm or this like college apartment. But it's just such a weird, like, I don't believe in dishwashers. Now for your first apartment though, were you the person, I'm assuming, was it with someone?
My first apartment?
Yeah.
My first apartment, like, well, my first apartment was at college at Temple. I don't know if that counts.
Were you the person who brought everything?
No, actually, my first apartment, I transferred to Temple and I didn't know anyone. And a lot of the people I did meet ended up going into a sorority. I never did any of that or anything. I just met a girl in one of my classes that we vibed with pretty closely. But we didn't know each other that well. And she already lived in a house or an apartment of 4 bedrooms. I did not know the other two at all. It's like the one time I went like full random basically. Yeah. So I brought like literally just my stuff. And it was probably one of the nicest, it's probably the nicest apartment I lived at in Philly actually.
Wait, Temple's in Philly? I thought it was in Arizona.
No, that's Tempe.
Oh, it is. Yes, that's
Temple University. Yeah, it is in North Philadelphia. Great area. No, you know what? I loved it. I had such a good experience. I wanted to go to a city school, and you know, out of everywhere in Philly, I definitely would have picked Temple. You know, I would do it again. Only thing that was weird, that kind of sucked, was that I did transfer in. And I wasn't as involved as I could have been because my first college, I made friends pretty easily. It was a pretty small school, so it came pretty, I didn't really have to go out of my way for anything. Going to Temple, such a big school, you know, you already have people that have established friendships their first year, and it was weird to go into it. So, you know, the one thing I would do differently was maybe get more involved. But what I ended up doing, I didn't want to, I didn't go in any sports, didn't want to do sorority or anything like that. So I went study abroad. I was like, you know what, I want to meet people somehow. I want, you know, I have to take summer classes, catch up anyways. I might as well do it in Italy.
And where in Italy?
Rome.
Rome. Okay.
Yeah.
I did Florence.
Yeah, no, I mean, Florence was gorgeous. I loved Rome. I only did a summer semester, so it was 6 weeks, which I thought was kind of perfect timing. It, you know, that trip took a financial blow on me. I don't know how people do it for a whole semester, but like a full, yeah. I mean, I'm sure it was worth it, 100%. But
I mean, I was still paying credit card bills up until the middle of senior year.
Uh-huh. Me too. I definitely still have some loans that I'm paying off from that. But again, so worth it. You know, I met so many people there. I met some of my best friends from that trip. And then through those people, I was able to come back to Temple and then meet their friends. And then, you know, that's just kind of how I, you know, established my group, quote unquote, at Temple, which is great. I encourage anyone to go study abroad, especially in Italy.
So, kind of circling back, but staying in that within that theme of like going to different places, like when you are deciding to, you know, everything is small from renting a house at the shore or as big as wanting to move to California. I'm going to circle that back. I didn't like how I said that. Everything from everything from small stuff to driving to the shore every weekend and everything to huge stuff, like moving out to California, moving to LA, from the East Coast, there's always like those pros and cons list. What do you do to try to get past all those things that pull you back? And I guess what are they too?
No, that's hard. I'm very much a homebody, and I will usually focus more on the cons and use that to talk myself out of it than with the pro, than, you know, think of the pros. I don't know. The older I get, and especially now that I'm, you know, financially, it used to be a lot in the past. It was like, you know, I had a lot of financial constraints where, you know, I can't do the shore house. I can't afford it. I can't move across the country. Now there's really nothing that's holding me back like that where it would be a dumb decision. Maybe not dumb, but irresponsible, I guess.
Sure.
I like forced myself into the shore house. I mean, you know, I don't know how you made your decision, but I've always wanted to do something like that. And I've always made excuses every summer, you know, I can't do it because of this. And you know, this year I was like, you know, I just spent a whole year in, you know, quarantine, you know, there's just do it. I just say, send it. Literally, like, that's it. That's how I make my decisions. Like, just send it.
Just send it.
Yeah.
Do you get to that point where you're just like, all of the things holding you back are just kind of null and void? You're just like, oh, it's just going to work out. Whatever happens, it's going to work out.
I'm still like realistic about things. Like, you know, I don't want to make the decision that's going to like set me back. Like, you know, this California trip, I wouldn't ever go and make that decision unless I already had a job in place. You know, I'm still very, you know, I'm responsible in that sense. And I'm just very realistic about things. I don't just want to like do it without giving it any thought. But, you know, I always had, you know, even the Rome trip, I almost didn't even go. I didn't almost get on the plane. I was just like, there's too many negatives. Like, I don't know anyone going into this. Like, this is going to just set me back. And then like, you know, so time and time again, I've forced myself into these things. I've been like, just do it. Just fuck it. Send it. And I had the best time of my life. And so far, I don't know about you, but I've had the best time at the shore house. You know, I think we have a great group of people. And imagine if I didn't do it. Like, I'm just, you know.
No, yeah. Once I actually stay there, it'll be a really fun time.
I know. I mean, like, you know, you're different. Like, you have, it's your family or it's T's family that lives near
it's,
there?
It's my family. We're like 15 minutes away.
Exactly. And that makes sense. And I see why you did the house, but I also don't blame you at all. Like, if my family lived that close where I don't have to sleep on an air mattress on the ground, I would probably do the same thing.
It's such but a you're good there. Balance.
Exactly. But you're there enough and you still have the option to come. And like, you know, You're it's kind of like I'm.
No, absolutely. It's like, well, obviously, I'm on the lease.
Obviously, you pay for it. Yeah.
I kind of feel like everybody's father who went through a divorce. Like, I show up on weekends and try to have as much fun with you guys as possible. But then when like the boring stuff happens, I let everybody else take care of that.
Totally. I don't even blame you at all. No, it's been so much fun. It's also not exactly what I thought. I mean, I don't know. Is this your first experience like with the shore house with people?
It is. And actually traditionally in New Jersey heritage, I'm a little young for a shore house. Usually it's 24, 25, 26 is when people are doing it. And then from there, actually a lot of people will start doing Montauk, which just seems like such a bear of a drive or even a train, because if you got to think, if you're going from New York City, you have to go all the way to the end of Long Island. This doesn't seem worth it. So right around 26, 27 is when people, like traditionally people start to taper off. But yeah, I'm actually considered a little young for who would end up like be, you know, in the house. Cause usually the tradition is like you graduate college, you either move to the city or move to Hoboken. Your first and second summer, you do all the New York stuff, you get that out of your system, and then you start figuring out the train lines down the shore. But since everything threw us for a loop, and now I'm almost 24 and still living with my parents, well, that's not fair, actually. We came out of a pandemic.
Exactly.
But yeah, it's not something that I had on my radar until I got reached out to.
Okay.
Like, I was fine trying to find a job, because I guess back when we all... I was doing freelance production and I was working for an athletic company that I cannot tell you the name of, but I'm hoping you can probably just guess. But
I'll text you my guess later.
you know, namaste, whatever. And so, mm-hmm. Yeah, so you guys, I guess I was in that group chat of the big, big group in Manasquan Gossip.
Okay, I was going to say, because I don't really know how everyone came together. What at first it was just Kate, myself, and Sabrina looking. I don't really know anyone else. I mean, everyone kind of knew each other through another person, and so I wasn't really involved. You know, I went around, I looked around and helped, but like I said, a lot of people from my area are trying to go down to South Jersey beaches, so there wasn't many people that I was able to you know, get on board with it. So I don't really know how you came into the mix, or how anyone did. And I didn't know that. I thought you knew everyone. Yeah,
I wrote a message in the big, big, like, need houses for the shore group chat, right? And two people responded. It was one guy who had a room at the Parker House.
Oh my gosh!
He had a room at the Parker House, and I was all gung ho to do that. And it would have been me and him, and like, cause you can stay in the place above the Parker House. You get like a, I don't know if you get a parking spot, but you get a, I think you do. You get your room, you get like a parking spot or a VIP card. I don't know. And right before, I actually had the lease emailed to me. And then I got reached out to by one of you guys and we're like, hey, we saw you were looking for this. It's in Point Pleasant, and I was a little hesitant because it's Point Pleasant. I know Manasquan is like the place to be, but yeah, you guys reached out to me and I was like, all right, you know what, it's like one person versus 10 people, so this seems like it's better. And then things just fell into place.
Okay, so I didn't know, I thought that the Parker House was like a hotel on top. I didn't know that was like a long or like a full summer, like a lease situation.
Oh, I was the super rando with you guys, and yeah, it's apparently a lease situation, wow. which is pretty cool. Maybe I'll try to do that sometime in the future. I just couldn't justify passing up the opportunity to hang out with you lovely people.
Okay, so if you were to stay in the Parker House, it would have been just your own room. Like, is it set up like a hotel, or do you get like your own apartment there? How does it work?
I think it's like, from what I was described, and I guess it's probably good that I didn't do it because I didn't know what I was getting into. I think it's like two people per bedroom, and then it's a hallway of maybe three or four rooms, and it's in those three or four rooms, it's two people. So it's like you're sharing a floor with like 8 to 10 people.
Okay. Interesting.
It's like, yeah, it's kind of like a college dorm, I want to say.
Well, I'm glad that you did. You took the Point Pleasant route.
Now, Mr. Parker House, if you're listening to this right now, and I could be wrong. This is going off of information that I was given in February of 2021, and that's at least 6 months, March, April, May, June, July. That's like 5-6 months ago. So I could be wrong, but I don't think I am.
I don't know.
But we ended up destroying Jenks every weekend.
I love it there. What is your favorite bar down in that area?
You know, it's funny. I thought we were going to be like spending all summer at Leggett's, Osprey, and that, but it's so like, obviously those bars have all the great things about them, but it's so nice to be like, all right, let's just walk that four blocks.
Yes. What does Osprey and Leggett's and whatever, what do they have that Jenks doesn't? Like, I get the argument with Bar A. That place is unbelievable. But what does Osprey have that we don't? We have a full beef section and a live music section, and we have TVs if there's a game on. And there's a section where, you know, you can just sit and chill. Like, they have it all, and it's walking distance to us. Like, it checks all my boxes.
I do like all the rooms at Osprey. It's kind of a cool breakdown. Yeah. Because I remember we were there, and I was like, I saw one of my brother's friends. I was like, do you know where Randy is? And they were like, he's in this room. And I was like, what? There's like different like names for all the rooms. That's pretty cool. But yeah, no, Jenks is a great opportunity. It's great. Just, it's so convenient. And obviously Bar A is just in such an insane experience. Are you a VIP at Bar A by any chance?
No, you're the one that told me about this. I'm learning all sorts of Jersey things from you. I didn't know that the Parker House you could live at, and I did not know that you could be a VIP at Bar A, but I actually would love to be a VIP at Bar A.
because earlier on in the summer I sent a link in the group chat. I was like, hey, they're accepting applications for VIP cards.
You probably did. I don't know. I never saw it. And are they still doing it?
I don't know. I'd probably ask, but it's cool. They have you in like a database. Cause I think mine got lost or stolen or something. And yeah, you still have to pay cover for a guest though. The guest gets to bypass the line, but they still have to pay cover.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're like me and you have a significant other, you're basically just cutting the line, but paying cover either way.
Just for them. Yeah.
So you're not a VIP. You're more of just like an IP. Like, because you have to pay that extra cover charge.
There's no value.
There's no very important. You're just kind of important. You're a KIP. You're a kind of important person. All right. So
funny.
Thank you. So circling back, let's basically, I don't know if you've listened to any other episodes of this before to do prep research. If you haven't, that's completely okay.
I did. I listened to one. Go on. I forget who it was or what it was about. Go on.
But so a lot of this show, aside from talking about, you know, the best bars at the shore or, you know, stuff like that, for at least the first season is talking about like what you would have changed if you could go back. And I know you're a little older than me. So your perspective.
Please, Liam.
You're 25. I'm 23. That's.
You're 23?
How old did you think I was?
I mean, I knew you were younger than me. I thought you were 24. I guess it's not 20. A big difference, but wow. Okay.
Yeah, I'm a little guy. All right. You are like the last generation to be able to call yourselves like true millennials. Like
I was actually going to ask you that. Like, do you like identify, or like, I don't know what the cutoff is. I would say I'm definitely a millennial.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm in that weird space where, I can't really relate to a lot of true millennial stuff, but I can't relate to a lot of Gen Z stuff. So I remember when cars were super boxy, like the old Honda Civics and things like that. But I also remember them getting more like smooth and streamlined. I remember being taught analog clocks in school, but I also remember when they switched to digital. I remember cassettes, but I also remember when they introduced the iPod. But I would say that I don't relate to the Gen Zers today. I don't relate to the TikTok dances, and I don't relate to the shows that used to be on Disney or that are on like Disney now. But I also don't relate to like the early millennial stuff. It's weird.
Yeah, I don't know. I I think that we grew up at a great time because we still had like our childhood where we were, you know, we weren't so involved with technology. We weren't so consumed in it. Like, you know, I played outside with my friends until, you know, it got dark out, and then we went in, like, we weren't on, you know, iPads and things like that. My cat, by the way, in the background. She wants to join. But we still have all the, you know, technology is still all advanced and came out early enough where we're able to adapt pretty quickly and take full advantage of it. And, you know, I just think that we kind of, at our age, we got the best of both worlds here, where it wasn't our full lives, but we were, you know, we still remember like the introduction of all these things.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's fascinating.
Yeah. So I was definitely going to ask you more about like the things you changed, but I think it's an interesting pivot to instead talk about, do you think that technology has gotten to a point where it's doing less good than, or it's doing more bad than good? Because you were talking about like how you said kids got to have like a childhood, things like that. Do kids get childhoods anymore? Like, I'm seeing more and more people are throwing kids their iPads, throwing them their technology or whatever, like giving them their little spaces to do what they want. Is traditional childhood, like the childhood that has been from the year zero to, I guess, I'd probably say 2008, is that gone?
I think so. I don't know. I mean, I think everything needs to be done in moderation. I know that I nannied for years high school and college. I continued to a little bit after college, and I know that the kids I watched, the parents had a pretty strict technology policy or rule or whatever. You know, only could put on the TV when it's raining outside or right before bed. Like if it was a nice day out and I'm picking them up from school, or not just going inside and, you know, watching TV or going on laptops or whatever, video games, like, or do it. So I think that parents, I don't know. I mean, I don't know a lot of young kids. I've definitely seen it where parents are just throwing these kids like phones when they're not even able to talk yet. And I think that that's maybe not great. I don't know if it's out the window necessarily. It is nice, I will say, to be able to just, if the kid's having a meltdown or you just need a break, to just be able to give it an iPad and throw on a game or a show or whatever, and then, like, they're out of your hair. But I do also agree with the, you know, at one point is it too much? Like, are they missing out on, you know, a real childhood where they're not just so sucked into all this stuff? And I know it's hard. I mean, it's everywhere now. Like, yeah, how do you filter out? Yeah, how do you filter out what, you know, you don't want them to see? Like, there's just so much bad stuff out there. I don't know how it works now. I know that I feel like we grew up in the toughest spot because, I don't know if you remember, like, what was that website? Formspring and Ask.fm, things like that. Like,
Ask.fm, those are oh my god.
Yes, those were, like, very toxic things where parents had no real control over. And they, you know, now I feel like they're, you know, everything's set up with all these like advanced settings, you know, you won't let the, you know, they can't watch this or this is blocked from them. Back then, like, I don't know, my parents didn't have any locks or controls on anything. So it was a free for all for me and my siblings. And I think that that could have been more toxic. I think now parents have a better idea of technology and, you know, how to control it. It's just now, you know, you don't want to let your kids overindulge in it. Like, how do you limit it?
It's like you want to limit it, but at the same time, it's impossible to, because you can't take away the phone because they need the phone. You can't take away the laptop because they need it for school. But how do you know that they're using their laptop for school, or they're using their phone so that they don't get picked up by a kidnapper on the street? Like, there's no balance. You know, even right now, I'm in my office, right? And I see the TV, I see my monitor, I see my work laptop, I see the laptop I'm interviewing you on, and my phone.
Mm-hmm.
That's 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yeah.
That's 5 screens plus a decommissioned, 2 decommissioned iPads and an old MacBook right over there. Now.
No, really.
That's just insane. Like, how did we get to this?
I agree. I think that there is a lot of benefits, though. It's made a lot of things much more easy. Everything is more accessible, which I guess could be a good or a bad thing. But yeah, it makes me worried how, you know, sucked into their phones and everything that kids are. Maybe it's because we grew up when we did. Like, I know how to do it in moderation. I'm not, you know, I know how to have a conversation face to face with someone without having to, you know, have a screen in front of me. And I feel like that skill, like that very basic skill, is gonna maybe be lost with the upcoming generations, which is sad. And I hope that it's kind of on the parents, I would say, to make sure that, you know, there's a healthy balance there. But I don't know, we'll see.
Yeah, it's just the most insane thing to me that you go to school at this point, you go to school and then you come back and you're like, all right, let me log in because I have to do my homework. Like, that's such a weird thing to say, like not whipping out the pen and the paper and the pencil and being like, Dad, I'm doing phonics. Can you come over here and help me? It's like, no, let me log into Google Classroom. You know, I was 20 before I used my first Google Classroom.
Yeah,
and I still don't understand it.
I didn't use any of those. I didn't use like Zoom or any of that stuff until the pandemic, actually. It's crazy to think that we've been in the same lifetime now as all these things. Like, you've seen the progression. Like, I had like cassette tapes. Like, my first album was on a cassette tape. Like, it's kind of like, I feel like we're just lucky ones where we've gotten to like see the whole transition. Like, we had record players growing up, we had boom boxes, and you know, then we went on to CD players. We've seen the progression, which is really, really cool. Like, my brother probably doesn't even know what a cassette is. So,
you know, it's funny. And I guess it's even now, I guess now it's worse, because he's in some hot water. But do you know what I asked for Christmas in like 2005? I asked for the Drake and Josh theme song and music inspired by album and Drake Bell's new album on CD.
No way. How do you remember that?
Because it was a giant, like, weird part of my childhood where I had these two Drake Bell albums that I just kept listening to. And I'm hindsight now being 2020, that's, you know, Drake Bell is in some serious hot water.
No, but that's so cool. Like, that you get to remember that, like, how big of a deal that was at one point.
Like, imagine getting a CD and that being like, whoa, this is mind blowing.
You had a more appreciation for it. It's too easy now. You can just go on your Spotify and listen to the album. Like, I had such an appreciation, let me tell you, when I got my first Britney Spears CD. Like, it's not the same now. Like, when an album comes out, it's just like, all right, cool. Like, whatever. Back then, I was like, it was like finding gold. I got my CD.
Oh, yeah. No. When I was, I was 12. My rap phase started.
At 12?
At 12. Oh, cool. Well, I was in my Green Day phase the 4 years prior. And so my rap phase had started, and I was lucky because my friend had moved to England. And so I went to visit him, and we found this record shop, and I bought all the CDs my mother would never let me have. And that was like, that was my big rebellion, was buying two Eminem CDs and a Lil Wayne CD. It's 2010. That was my big rebellion.
That's so funny. I had the same phase where I went from, like, you know, like my punk, like, I don't know, like rock phase, and then from there I went into a rap phase. Like, my transition was exactly the same. That's so funny. My favorite way, like my favorite memory of music, is when I put so much effort into like my LimeWire and like downloading them and like organizing the album art. Like, I put the work in with LimeWire. I downloaded everything. But I always, like, I'm so, like, OCD with it. Like, when I put it on my iPad, I would have to have the album art with it. You know, like, it couldn't just be blank. So I organized this stuff like crazy. And I was, like, proud of it, too. Like, oh, I kind of miss LimeWire. Like, I was proud of that work I did.
That's insane. I had bought I love how this is just the back and forth. Like, these things that we don't even think about now. Because we have Spotify and we have Netflix and we have, you know, Chromecast, things like that. I didn't have an iPod Nano as a kid. I had a Shuffle, But between getting a Nano and having my Shuffle, I bought this like $30 Chinese market MP4 player, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you had to, you would open it up like it was a US, you plug it in, you would open it up like a USB and you would just drop files in there. So like I'd go through and download different files. And I remember there was this girl I was really, now this is going back to whenever Twilight New Moon came out. There was this girl I was really into when New Moon came out, right? And she was super into the whole like Twilight thing. So I downloaded Twilight on this MP3 player. And it was this horrible fuzzy copy of Twilight. And you had to turn it sideways. And you needed headphones to listen to it. If your headphones were busted, you just couldn't get sound. And I watched about half of it. Then I had baseball practice or something. And I came back super excited. There was no fast forward function. You just couldn't fast forward. But when you logged out, it started you back. It started again.
Yeah, from the beginning.
So you had to like put it. This is what you had to do. You had to put the MP3 player down. Figure out a certain part of the movie in like 45 minutes to an hour and a half, and then pick it back up again and watch it full the way through. Make sure it's not out of battery, which had the same jack as the headphones somehow. It was unbelievable. The things we used to have to go through just to watch a movie or listen to a song.
I know. Today's kids will never know.
Kids these days just don't know struggle at all.
I kind of want to raise my kids as if it's like the early 2000s, though, like so they can appreciate technology more.
Hang some Blink-182 posters in their room.
Totally, yeah. Get some, like, I don't know, get like a boombox, do all the things.
There are so many times where I think to myself, like, I could just take all my money, sell all my stocks, just go to Montana, buy some land. No one would ever see me again. And I would just live such a fulfilling life off the land. No computers, no phones, no nothing. But then I'm just like,
nah.
And then I'm just like, Entourage is on HBO Max. I have a free half an hour. It's so bad.
No, yeah. I don't think I could ever give it up. I'm too in it now.
I hate it. I really do hate it, but I can't give it up. It's like watching Love Island. You hate yourself the entire time. But when it's like, would you like to watch the next episode? You're like, yes, yes, yes,
absolutely.
Yes.
Are you done watching? No. Do I look like I'm done? No.
No. Back in the Love Island villa. Yeah.
That's too funny.
So in summation, you just got to, one, you got to send it, be it to California or Jersey Shore House. And two, technology, I guess it's, we all know it's bad. I don't think anybody's in denial of how bad technology is getting in our lives. But we, at this point, we just need it. That's it.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a love-hate thing. Like, there's so many great parts to it. It's made so many people's lives easier at the same time. I kind of wanted to, like, stop progressing because it's going to start taking jobs soon, and that's scary to me. But no, I don't know. I have a really, like, on the fence opinion on technology. For the other part you said, send it, but don't be stupid.
Send it, but don't be stupid. All right. Yeah. Well, I appreciate you coming on. So
I'm glad you got to get an older perspective.
Old, all 25 years of it.
This was fun. Thanks, Liam.
Of course.
Am I going to see you this weekend?
Yes, you will. I will be down cool. at least one day. I'll come over. Right. I am trying to have a chill weekend because I did get the Belmar flu. So
I have it too.
It was so bad. I blame you housemates for it. I know one of you was sick and you didn't say anything. I know it. It was one of you. I don't know who it was.
Probably. I don't know. I mean, this is like my third time. Like, I've just been consistently sick since the summer has started.
So
I don't know what it is. Like, my immune system is shot, I guess, from the last year. But you know what? I start to recover. Thursday, Friday, I feel good. Do it all over again, and the cycle restarts. And that's just how we're going to do it this summer.
Yeah, I think I've been sick like two or three times this summer. I got to build up my immune system again. It's terrible.
Exactly. No, just keep doing it. It'll be worth it. It's good for you. Just what the doctor ordered.
Yeah, what doctor? Oh, yeah, you're from Philly. Whatever. those Philadelphia doctors are like, yeah, get sick. It's fine. Whatever.
It's fine. Just drink a beer.
I'll write you a prescription anyway if you leave. all right. Thanks so much for coming on.